We're joined by Lilla Schwartzberg. And we're going to take a little trip from New York to New Mexico. Well, almost. Welcome, Lilla.
Hey, Roy. How are you?
I'm great. New York, New Mexico. It all has a new in it.
And that's my new life, from New York to New Mexico.
New life, new everything.
Yes, it was quite the bridge burner. I mean, sold my house, quit my job, said goodbye to my friends, packed the road dog into a car, and headed out west.
How incredible is that? And you mentioned in your article that... you'll never be stalled for 2 hours on that 3-lane parking lot again.
Oh, my God, it was horrible. It was, and the sign is going, don't go more than 55 miles per hour. And I'm thinking, oh, geez.
Now, it was strange
because, I was born and raised in New York. And
me too.
Yeah, that's right. And so I was heading out, slowly leaving it inch by inch. And so it was kind of weird, but actually quite wonderful to take a road trip. It gave me the 5 days I really needed to get used to the notion.
And you had a little hint of nostalgia
as
you crossed over the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, well, the expression, burning one's bridges, and I was going over the bridge.
Well, it's all a big cultural thing. I can remember when I went from New York to California, nobody understood my one-liners anymore, at least my New York one-liners. And it is a bit of an adjustment. But in any event, there you were. You were on the road somewhere in New Jersey, and you just realized you sold your house.
I had no home. I was rootless. I was absolutely rootless. I had no address anymore because I wasn't living on Long Island, and I hadn't moved to Albuquerque yet. I was in the state of limbo.
And the only route you had was straight ahead.
Yeah. And that's what I did. I just kept driving down the road, and it was very wonderful. It was just a wonderful experience to drive through America. I don't think people realize how huge this country is.
In five days,
I didn't even go across the country. Well, I took a bit of a... No, it certainly wasn't as direct a route as possible, but still, it's a huge country. And once you leave the coast, there's miles and miles and miles of empty land.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, you traveled with your faithful canine, and I'm a little surprised, you being so involved in travel and having two major websites, that you didn't go to a .com pet friendly site before you left and print out a list of dog friendly hotels.
Well, that's because I don't plan. There are people who say, I'm going to go X number of 100 miles, and then so I'll make a reservation in this hotel, and I just get in my car and drive. And then when I've had enough, I look for a hotel or a motel to stay in.
Right.
So, yes, of course, when one has a dog, it's a little different, but it didn't really occur to me to change the way I operate. So I did learn, I did figure out that I had to make accommodations to the fact that I'm traveling with Max.
And Max had no idea that there were going to be new fire hydrants and trees when he arrived, so he had no idea where he was going.
Oh, he was quite traumatized by the whole thing. I mean, he loved being in the car, but every night he was in a different place to stay, and everything smelled different, and nothing was familiar. So the best thing for him was actually being in the car and driving down the road. He liked that the best.
With his head out the window?
No, actually,
that's right. Tell us about that, because that's kind of interesting for people who do the travel with their animals. It sounded quite innovative.
It's a great thing. It's just a black padded box, and his harness is attached to the hook inside, and it's very safe. Because if you've ever driven down the road with the dog and you stop short, they fall off the seat and onto the floor. And if you're doing that on a highway at 70 miles an hour...
Yep.
That's not a good thing for a dog.
That's
or
terrible.
Any animal. So this way he was safe. He was strapped in. He could look out, or he could curl up and go to sleep.
Well, and you know, like everybody else, we wear seatbelts, and if the dog goes flying across the car, it's also going to take your attention off the road, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, and there's no, you know, people do what they do, but I wasn't going to take a chance with road dog, so right. He was in the car seat.
Now, you made this trip in the middle of August, I think, when it was really very hot.
It was.
And so, obviously, it presented problems on with the dog. And certainly, you can't leave him in the car with the windows closed. And how do you get about?
I
so, why don't you walk us through that a little bit? Because I know your biggest thing, instead of worrying about dog-friendly hotels and where you're going to stay, you're more worried about where you're going to have your next barbecue.
Yeah, I have to admit, three different barbecue places in 5 days. I was in heaven. And in between, I ate down home cooking at Cracker Barrel and, you know, little places on the road.
You know, funny you should bring up Cracker Barrel, because at one point we came from, I drove down with a friend of mine from Pennsylvania, and Cracker Barrel has a thing called the Cracker Barrel Trail.
Yes.
And you can follow it and go, and you can judge your distance if you're going to drive 8 hours or where you're going to be at lunchtime. And we actually took a menu from the previous restaurant. So I'd be sitting there, he's driving, saying, what do you feel like for lunch? And the other thing is that you always know in the areas of Cracker Barrels is usually some pretty decent motels or hotels. So the Cracker Barrel Trail, I wanted to do a program on that, and I may still do it, but I thought it was fun. But
I actually wanted to follow the Cracker Barrel Trail at one point because...
But they don't have barbecue.
Well, that is a problem, but they do have country fried steak.
But I think it's fun that you did the barbecue trail, and I didn't realize how a New Yorker gets so involved in barbecue, because I don't remember a lot of barbecue places in New York, I guess.
Yeah, it's a wasteland for barbecue. It was only when I was in Houston that a friend introduced me to barbecue.
Right.
And I fell for it. Totally. I mean, I love barbecue.
So let's continue on your trail. You went through Pennsylvania, and there you had some not-friendly pet-friendly hotels, and then you went on to Kentucky, I guess, huh?
Well, it took me a while to figure out that I had to leave some time to find a pet-friendly place to stay. That had to be a priority when I considered. And one of the things that I found really helpful is to stop at the information booths when you cross the state line. They will often have information on pet-friendly hotels. Take it with you, because as you drive through the state, if you're not entirely sure where you're going to stay, that will help you decide, quite frankly. You'll go, oh my God, there's a pet-friendly hotel here, let's stay there.
And they also have those little discount coupons in some of those books. I've actually walked in one, and there's a fellow there negotiating a rate with the desk clerk, and he said, gee, it seems to me I've stayed here, you know, before it was $20 cheaper. Now I've got this coupon that is $50 cheaper than the rate he had. So I slipped it onto my credit card when I gave it to her because I didn't want to create a problem. But there are those kinds of things, and they're available at the places you mentioned.
Absolutely, and they'll make reservations for you. In fact, that's how I found my hotel in Nashville, because I wasn't going to drive through Tennessee and not stop in Nashville. I wanted to see it. But I got road dog. So I stopped at the information office and right over the state line, and the woman there was wonderful. We went down the list, and she found the hotels that were in the center of Nashville, right where I wanted to stay, and cross-referenced those with the pet-friendly hotels. And then I called up and made reservations and, you know, drove into Nashville with my pet-friendly hotel. So that was terrific.
And then you did another barbecue place?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, when I was in Tennessee, starting with Kentucky.
So you stayed when you were in Nashville, you stayed at the Sheraton, right?
Right, and I ate at Jack's.
Right.
And they were lovely because I had to bring Max, my dog, with me because the hotel didn't allow the dogs to stay in the room alone, which I understand.
Right.
So I'm taking Road Dog with me. But now I have to find a place to eat. So the concierge service there at the hotel, and I'm asking for barbecue because I'm in there, so I'm eating barbecue. And they recommended Jack's for the ribs, and Jack's has fabulous ribs.
Right.
And Jack's was very kind to me traveling with Max. And they had an outdoor dining patio, so I ate out there. And they brought my food to me because with a dog, you can't be in a place that serves food.
Right.
Right. They were lovely.
And the other thing was that having the dog along when you were strolling along, what, as you refer to it as the French, like similar to the French Quarter, New Orleans, honky tonk and hillbilly blues and more.
Music all over. It was wonderful.
But you couldn't go inside. You had to listen from the outside.
Yeah, I did. But it had its advantages. I met Roger, who was a street musician. Had a lovely conversation with Roger.
Yeah,
he liked Max. Max liked Roger. We had fun.
There you go. What a good start. You know, if your dog doesn't bite the person that you're talking to, that.
Max is 14 pounds, and he's a little white, fluffy thing.
Yeah, I sure.
He's a lap dog.
Right.
So he's a cutie. And there was, as you mentioned, the barbecue in Kentucky. Kentucky has excellent barbecue.
Right.
So I was on the road, and I was, you know, the food you get at those pull-off stops, I can't even describe it. So I was really hungering for something that I could enjoy. And I got off at random. It happened to be the town of Carrollton. And I saw a sign for Tina's barbecue. And Tina had fabulous barbecue, and Max and I enjoyed it. And got back on the road, continued on. And then in Amarillo, because you can't go to Texas and not have brisket. Texas and brisket go together. So I actually stopped in Amarillo so I could have barbecue, because I knew once I crossed over into New Mexico, it could be a while before I found a good barbecue place.
I thought it was interesting that when you said, well, you were talking about rest areas, and that's when you got to Texas, they were really upscale. In fact, you call them, the rest stops are architectural creations, which
it's
I
beautiful.
Thought was kind of amusing. Yeah.
Especially coming out of Oklahoma, which apparently doesn't have the revenue and the money available that Texas does. Unless, of course, I just happened to hit the gem of Texas, I don't know. But it was certainly beautiful.
Now, as I go on, and we're about out of time here, but here I am reading this with bated breath and waiting to you reach this land of enchantment, or you might say, to be continued.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it all in one.
But we'll get you back on, and we'll certainly get into the story. Neela, and Neela Schwartzberg is owner of offbeattravel.com and offbeatnewyork.com. And we're not going to talk about newmexico.com just yet, but...
it's coming.
Okay, Neela, thanks very much. Always a pleasure, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Great, I look forward to it.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.